Today on the Cooligans, it's Christian's birthday and tomorrow it's mine. But on this episode, we talk a little bit about handball rules. Why doesn't anyone know what they're doing, including VAR?
And in the second segment, we're joined by USMNT captain and Bournemouth midfielder, the one and only Tyler Adams, will be joining us to talk about some World Cup stuff and also everything going on in Bournemouth and the rest of the season. Also, Jose Mourinho might be returning to Real Madrid to manage that club. Is it a good idea? Alexis and I may not agree on this. All this and more today on the Cooligans.
I don't know. You obviously know who Mel Kiper is, right?
I do.
Yeah. He was on.
Does our audience know?
Does it? Well, he's like he's an ESPN draftologist. Is kind of how I know him.
Basically, yeah.
He's got like the big hair.
For NFL.
Yeah, but he's always like doing the mock drafts. He's like the guy they call in for the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. He was on another podcast. No need to name it. Who cares? And he said they asked him how many. I'm going to ask you the question they asked him. How many apple pie? How many pumpkin pies do you eat in a week?
They just asked the
question. I'm asking
zero,
you.
Zero.
Christian, yeah. How about in a month?
Zero.
In a year?
Zero.
Okay. Mel Kiper said in a week, he goes through about two or three of them.
All right. He's a fan.
Every day. He ends his day with a slice of pumpkin pie. And if I'm not mistaken, he said that if he doesn't get to it, or even if he does, sometimes when he wakes up, he has one for breakfast. Is there anything in the world that you like to eat that much where you're pretty consistent? I have a lot of questions. Are these from a bakery? Are they making them? Are these frozen? Because you can't be eating them. You're going to die, Mel Kiper. You know right. What I mean?
Who's like, the...
No. Don't. I need to know. Is there anything in the world you like that much where you think you could have it?
Water.
Water. Okay.
That's about
water,
it.
Water, coffee doesn't count, right?
Right.
I'm talking like that. Pumpkin pie is a very specific. In fact, if I were to ask you, when are most pumpkin pies eaten? When would you say?
Thanksgiving.
Of course. There's a time and place for it.
Of course.
Most people say, I'll have it then, right? I can't picture myself chowing down on, you know, I don't know, a pumpkin pie or like yams in the summer. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just like at the beach. You go to the beach, you got to bring pumpkin pie with you. Because you're Mel Kiper's wife, and you're like, this guy is going to flip out if he doesn't have his pumpkin pie.
He's going to hit me. Oh, bring yeah. The pumpkin pie.
Or he's going to make me sit on his face and smear pumpkin pie on myself. I don't know how this works, but
right.
Think about that. There's nothing in the world that, like, we're Latinos, we eat rice all the time. I don't think I can picture myself eating rice 7 days a week.
No, neither can I. I mean, look, his palate is distinct.
7 days a week. I love rice. I could probably eat it 7 days a week, but not forever.
Yeah.
If you ask my wife, like, how many bags of rice does Alexis go through? And she said 2 to 3 a week, it'd be on the way into a doctor's appointment. You know what I mean? There'd be a bit of an intervention. Even my mom would be like, ay, Dios mío.
Right. yeah. I mean, there's even if I, like, even if it was my favorite meal, you know what I mean?
What is your favorite meal?
Chuleta, pork chops. I love pork chops.
That's it? Just a pork chop? What else? Like, hit me with like the, a hit meal. Me, what's
like
the dish?
Rice, beans.
What beans? Red, black.
Red beans, habichuela. And plátano maduro.
Okay.
That's a
is
good.
Is that what? So it's your birthday. Most people don't know that.
Yes. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to you. Tomorrow
is
your birthday.
Right. So some of you who listen to this late, it is my birthday. Thank you very much. What is your preferred birthday celebrate? Like, if you could have it any way you want.
Oh, wow. Actually, you know what? This morning, woke up and my son said, Feliz cumpleaños, papa. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? This is it. This is all I need.
That's
I'm
it?
Good. I'm set for the day.
Well, I will have you know my list is long. and it doesn't involve Mateo FaceTime, right? I'm sure that's beautiful, though. You're like, that's my seat.
Yeah, no, it was a lovely moment because, I mean, from my last birthday, he couldn't really speak. He didn't really say many sentences. Now he's saying everything in the world. And
how old is he? He's
3.
So 3. So yeah, we're 13 years away from him, like, forgetting to wish you a happy birthday.
Sure.
That's like what teenagers do.
I'm just trying to enjoy it while it's here.
Get it in now. Because them hormones are a real I'll tell you that. I got a nephew. I can't think of, like, what my favorite birthday meal would be. Like, because obviously the list is pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if I had, like, the perfect birthday meal, it would be, like, maybe like something like a chicken parm or my grandmother's ropa vieja. And if you don't know, ropa vieja is like a stewed beef. It's pretty great. It's the national dish of Cuba. Puerto Ricans and Dominicans pretend they make it, but Cubans obviously make it better. But I would put that over some rice.
Yeah, what we're fighting for.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty standard stuff here, the Caribbean. But I would say for me, I would love if I woke up and no child said anything to me for the whole day. That would be glorious.
Sure. I mean, you've been nailing it.
Yeah, I've been year crushing, after year. Dude. Oh, dude, I'm only 13 years away from forgetting my own birthday. So this isn't bad.
Well, cool. Well, I hope you enjoy your birthday. Yeah. I'm going to enjoy my birthday celebrating on the Cooligans
podcast. If you had
podcast.
To mail Kuiper or something, what would it be?
I had to Mel Kiper.
You imagine gun to your head every night. You
it
have
would
to
be
eat
like some kind of
a
like
piece of no, no, not some kind of. You have to be like specific.
Sour candy, some sort of sour candy.
Every single night,
sour power.
You think
the
you
sour
could have
straws?
The trash joints in the plastic bag.
Yeah, bro. Grew up on those.
The basura, the they're penny not, candy.
They're not penny candy. They were like 50 cents or a dollar.
Those are the worst ones. What about the trolleys or the, you know, the other stuff, the little spaghetti?
Nah, bro. Sour power. That so sour power straws.
Bro, we got some hood rats in his room. Everyone behind the camera saying it's so good, bro. Sour power is that's like the cheap one. That's the cheap. That's cereal in a bag.
I don't think you're talking about the right one.
It comes in a bag like this, and there's a little starburst at the top.
Maybe. I don't know. It had like a red little character.
Or like a green. They're like red, green, or blue.
Red, green, blue. They've been a
couple.
No,
this is.
Yeah, this was it. This is what I grew up on right there.
That is the ratchet, hood rat, like sour candy.
If you say so, I don't know. I mean, but like, Alexis with his pinky out,
I mean, if you said Sour Patch Kid watermelon, that's the peak.
That's what he's talking about.
That's top
they're
level.
They're the same thing. No, they're the same
they're
level.
So not.
Same
you're
level.
Eating like petrol. I bet you like an oil refinery company made those
and
when they
made,
had like
who
space
do you think
left
makes
over.
Sour Patch Kids? What are you? What are you
I think
mind?
Monks on top of a hill have made that.
You asked me what the thing is, and
no,
now
but
you
why would you get
to
the one thing you could have over and over again is the bootleg version of real sour candy? Airhead is another more elevated version.
I didn't really like Airhead. Sour Power had got the perfect formula. Yeah. They did it right.
Look at the ingredients in that joint. I bet you it's some basura.
It's like Red 9,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
I know what it is.
So I would say half of that list of ingredients is illegal
what,
in California.
Sour Patch or is organic, whatever. No, it's not. They're all the same
all
thing.
All I'm saying is it's made by a more reputable company. You've never even heard of the company that makes Sour Power. Who makes Sour Power?
Who makes Sour Patch?
But look at
Nestle
look at,
or
I think it's Mondelez. I think it might be Mondelez.
It's all the
which
same.
Which also French, you know? No, look this up. I'm looking this
how
up.
How long are we going to do this? We got to get to the show.
Who cares? They're listening. They're having a good time. It's your birthday. What company makes Sour Power?
Oh, my goodness.
Candies.
All right.
Halliburton. you've never heard of this company, bro. It's made in the Netherlands. By a company called Royal Fassen BV and imported to the U.S. by Dorval Trading. Dude,
Netherlands makes some good candy. The Dutch got it right, bro. That's what I've always said. I've always loved the Dutch East India Company. They've never done anything wrong.
Look at the logo, bro. The logo is so Corel Draw 9, dude. Oh, look at the straw packages, belt tubes, straw tubes, bulk belts and mini belts, and then bursts. Those are your options.
Okay.
No, this is trash. You guys eat trash ass food. Which is this your bodega go to?
I mean, it was. I don't have it anymore regularly, but I
Why?
Did have it as a kid.
Why? Because the itchiness from every time you eat it?
I said my body can't handle it like it did when I was 8 years old.
You still look eight. Crazy.
All right. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. We got a hot one today. Oh, boy. Get ready.
I'm not going to say anything because it's your birthday.
We're going to be joined by USMNT captain, Bournemouth midfielder, the one and only Tyler Adams is going to be on with us in just a little bit. Bro, nice to reconnect with the homies.
Bro, Captain America. No, that's not his nickname, but the captain of the American, captain of the U.S. America. National team. on our show is crazy.
Exactly. So we'll be chatting with him about everything coming up, looking to the World Cup.
And, yo, salutes to us, bro. We've been having, sorry, shouts to us. We've been having big names on the show. Bro.
I'm giving that it's the USMNT player. Salute to us.
That is our
contribution to the
Everyone
Patriots.
Stand up and pledge allegiance to the cool
guys. We've always said that. Yeah.
It's all we ask.
Honestly, and if you don't, you're going to be tried for treason.
Yeah, 100%, bro.
So hello, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero. Alexis. Happy birthday, Christian.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday tomorrow for Alexis.
That's right. Our birthdays are one day apart.
Exactly. It never changes every year.
Yeah, yeah. Although I'm asking to switch. I want to be first one of these years.
Ah, bro. They say you got to get a.
We put it in the FIFA one time switch.
Okay. Let's see what Infantino says. He hasn't been too happy with us.
Oh, he's asking for a check.
We got to go over a bunch of things. Obviously, Tyler Adams is going to be on, but we have to talk about Champions League this week, the semifinals, and some absurd decisions by the referee. So we'll talk about them in a moment, and then also Real Madrid might be getting a new manager next season, and that might be Jose Mourinho. So we'll talk about that in a moment. But first, let's get to UEFA Champions League. Nobody knows what the handball rule is. Not even the refs. This is not a penalty. This is also not a penalty. This is extremely not a penalty, and this is definitely a penalty and wasn't even called. None of this makes sense. The handball rule is broken. How the hell do we start to fix this?
This is the top topic.
I'm confused as to how we got to this point. Because wasn't VAR supposed to fix this?
This and the fact that VAR is like getting involved. All right. So just for some context, right? Especially in the Champions League games, the two games, Bayern PSG and Arsenal Atleti. The fact that the same thing happened in both games
is wild.
Is so crazy, because it was like when it happens with Alphonso Davies, I'm like, okay, this is like, this doesn't happen often. And then boom, it happened immediately the next game. And I was, as soon as it happened, I'm like, the ref going to the camera, I'm like, he just saw this yesterday. And right. Everybody
you saw. You saw your man's do this wrong, so you're going to fix it.
He's like, nah, bro, I can't make my homie look bad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me go lean in and do the exact same thing he did yesterday. Right. So we know, we understand, especially fairly recently, that the updated kind of guidelines are if it hits a part of your body and then hits your hand, not a handball because it deflected, you blocked it, and it happened to deflect on your hand.
Right.
And it's unfortunate, but not a penalty. And the fact that it was given on both calls is kind of crazy to me.
What's frustrating about it is like everyone from the announcers to the fans to us at home are sitting there thinking, well, you can't. You know, for the Arsenal one in particular, it's like, you're going to go to the screen. There's nothing about this that's going to, you're going to see a bounce off Ben White's knee. And you're going to say, oh, okay, this shouldn't be because this doesn't matter. And then all of a sudden, it's a penalty. And then Christina Uncle comes on and goes, well, the hand was in an unnatural position when the play started. It's like, yo, these aren't like strap these dudes' arms to their bodies. And right. Because I think the most unnatural thing is to have your arm. No one's river dancing.
It's such a strange thing. That was the argument. There's a guy I follow. I don't know his name, but he goes by Referee Channel on right. Instagram, and he weighs in on a lot of these controversial decisions. He posted the one about Alphonso Davies and highlighted the fact that Alphonso Davies had his arms behind his back. And then as the ball is struck, he does move his hand sort of in the way. He still hits his leg and then hits his arm. So he was sort of just questioning that choice of a defender to do that. But ultimately, he said this shouldn't have been given a penalty.
Clearly not.
The Ben White one looks at this and it's effectively the same thing. And he says like, this was a penalty, and I can't understand the difference in both of those instances.
We can't even trust him, Doug. Everything is torn down. What's shocking about this, if you're watching, you can see the moment the ball strikes his hand, which if this is all you see, you think to yourself, yeah, that's clearly
exactly.
The problem is that it deflects off of his leg.
Correct.
And that's when it the trajectory of that ball changes and it just so happens to meet his hand. So yes, if you didn't know it struck his leg, you're thinking, well, that's clearly a pen, right? There's nothing you can do there. But the fact that it strikes his leg and it changes trajectory, it's not like it glances his leg. The fact that it strikes his leg and changes direction tells me there was no way for him to instantly react to move his hand away.
Right.
And he's bringing the hand in to put himself in the quote unquote natural position, which is up against your body as if you're under arrest.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And it doesn't make a lot of sense.
And I would even argue, and I, you know, even to Christina Uncle's point, I would argue that Davies and Ben White's arms are in natural positions, given that they are extending their legs to try to block shots or passes. I mean, your arm is going to naturally leave a slightly away from your body. So, but I understand if the ball is struck and hits the arm directly and you're doing that movement. Of course, I mean, like, it's harsh, but like, I get it. But then if it deflects off your body, you successfully block it with a part of your body that you're allowed to block it with, and then it hits your arm. How is this a penalty? This is, I think, awful for the game. I think it's awful for just even referees. Like, this should be something that is agreed upon. Again, the UEFA guidelines, like IFAB, doesn't specifically highlight this hitting part of the body and then the arm kind of thing. They don't really distinguish that. UEFA guidelines do and effectively say, like, if it hits a part of the body, and we've seen this called.
Yeah, we've seen this called both ways, which is why we're having this conversation.
So it's like the Cucurella one, how in the Euros?
Yeah.
How right. is that not? I mean, we can understand. I feel like we understand what the handball rule is.
Enough that this is frustrating.
That this is like, you call that one. Yeah. That's the one you call, not the one that the flex off his hair and then whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, it's so ridiculous. And the fact that VAR got involved in both to be like, ref, you got this wrong, is so unbelievably like a misuse of what VAR should be doing, because both were not penalties.
Let me present to you a way to fix this that you're absolutely going to hate. Okay.
Mm.
Now, the problem.
Yeah, no, please do not say AI referees.
Just listen to me. Okay. Here's what I hate. Right now, the fans are saying it should go back to the interpreting rule. Like, if it touches your hand at any point, then it's that. Mm-hmm. Or some fans are saying it should be left to the moment of the game, and then you're left with this. Like, same thing with the offside rule, right? Wenger wants to change it to, if any part of your body is in line with the defender, then it's okay. That doesn't mean players react differently to rule changes, right? They play the game differently, right? So now that they know that any part, they're going to stretch that as far as they can. So we're still going to get offside things that are like, you know, the Haji Wright against Manchester United where it was his toe and we're looking at the line. We're going to get that again, but now it's going to be, was the back heel in line with the toe? We're going to get the exact same issues because players are going to adjust to what the new rule is. So here's my point. If we're using that system, the semi-automated for the line or whether it was a goal, and there is no question, we should be doing the same thing with this. We have enough, you know, systems on these players to understand where their arms are on an offside position, you know, whether what part of their arm was over or not, where we can tell within like, you know, a millimeter of where the player is. If we can do that, then we should be doing that with this. Instead of going to VAR and letting the ref go back and rewatch it, if he's still unsure at that moment or if he decides, I think I want to switch this, it should go to a semi-automated system, whether that's AI or something else or just a bunch of balls that we have.
Motion capture.
Yeah, motion capture. Whatever it is, the system is being used. Whatever the case is, it should just be left to just science. We should have a final, unbiased decision. And that is not the ref that's being jeered at by the fans that feel some sort of pressure in these big games. And it shouldn't be up to, you know, whether the guy goes back to the screen and sort of senses it or not, or gets a better angle. If there's not a good enough angle, let the machines do it at this point, because there should be a definitive yes or no.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous where it's like, well, it bounced off Ben White's leg, but I feel like get the emotion out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a machine. Give me an old ticker tape. Just spits out a little thing and says like penalty. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I guess you're sort of advocating for like the ABS system, like in baseball, right?
But yes.
Like the strike zone kind of a thing. Handball is like it's a difficult one. I mean, but as we evolve,
we haven't gotten to the point now where if we could tell a box to spit out an app and it does it in 30 seconds,
but if we
can't get to the point where we know whatever a handball is.
The game and the rules are always sort of evolving, but I understood it
it's
as
the in- interpretation of the rule.
But we've evolved. I thought we evolved to if it hits a part of your body and then your hand, it ain't a handball. I thought we all agreed on that.
Well, we've got 2 days and two pieces of evidence to suggest that that's not the case anymore.
It's unreal.
Which is why, like, if we change the rule, it's going to be interpreted its own way time and time again. And the idea that there's IFAB rules and UEFA rules, hey, come on, done.
Right.
FIFA, we got to follow the FIFA rule.
I think ultimately it takes away from why, especially that PSG Bayern game, which was beautiful. It was fantastic. It was just
so chaotic.
It was chaotic. It was like the defending was optional.
Yeah.
You know,
the beginning scene of Mad Max? That was PSG versus Bayern. It was just constant.
they both effectively. I had posted this. I was just like, what's funny about this game is that both managers refuse to make any tactical changes, even though they're giving up goals every 30 seconds. And I'm like, I love it. Go keep
because
keep
yeah, you're giving up goals, but you're also scoring goals. Nine goals in a match in Champions League.
I'm entertained. But look, I mean, we're seeing, and this is effectively what I thought the game was gonna be like when we talked about it in our kind of preview the other day.
Can you look at this and tell me whose defending was worse?
I assume PSG's based on the XG.
No, I'm going to assume Bayern's defending was worse because if PSG only had an XG of 1.9 and still scored 5 goals,
okay,
that means you were doing a terrible job of defending an end goal.
Okay, yeah. I mean, they it looked like it was effectively lost, especially when they were up by 3. I'm like, all right, Bayern's pretty much
the fact
cooked
that Bayern even came back.
The fact that they came back, but the fact that they came back, given like if you're up 3 goals, hey, sit back a little bit, try to maintain a little bit more possession, make it a little bit tougher. And PSG were like, nah, we got 4 or 5, like let's keep going.
Yeah,
and their center backs were still kind of on islands by themselves because it was way too aggressive. And there was a great moment. I don't know if you saw Luis Enrique and Vincent Kompany during Luis Enrique's post-match interview. Vincent Kompany walked by and he like shook his hand and he was like, oh, do you like that? That was crazy, right? That was fun. And he was like, no, I didn't like that. And Vincent Kompany was like, no, that was not fun for me to watch.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm trying to stop you from scoring.
I'm also a center back. Mm-hmm. This is the worst thing that could happen, right? So, I just thought those refereeing decisions got in the way of what like was ultimately just a really entertaining game, especially in that Bayern PSG. So
it's moments like that though where you become so frustrated it almost ruins your love of the game a little bit, just chips away at it a little bit because I get that there's moments where it seems unfair and then there's like, you know, there's a little bit of a get back after that throughout a season. In these later stages, it feels like life or death. You know what I mean? It feels like there's so much weight behind every one of these little decisions that it sort of tears away your trust of the game. It tears away your trust of how the system is built. This is why there's conspiracy theories that, like, you know, refs have been bought or they're bribed. And this is where all this comes from. It's just because we can't seem to call a game in an even way.
This is the adult version of finding out Santa is not real. You know,
is it?
it's so disappointing. But the it's wild that at the very least, like, it brought it back to that. We know that second leg is going to be extremely entertaining as well. Just the fact
technically,
that
Bayern, it's just a 1-0.
I know.
As insane as that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And on the Arsenal side, as frustrating as it was watching that match, just grinding away, you know.
I mean, what I did love about the narrative of the first game, the PSG Bayern, was that as you're watching, you're like, tomorrow's going to be a nightmare. Like, we couldn't let go of the fact that Atletico Arsenal is going to be a brutal game compared to what we're currently watching. So it makes it hard to even, it was like for us, for all of it, like collectively, I felt like the internet was like, I can't, I'm like, I don't even, I know I'm going to be disappointed tomorrow. So I'm like trying to enjoy this moment as much as possible.
I don't know if this will make air, but the PSG Bayern was like getting head on a roller coaster. You're just like, there's too many feelings happening here. This feels dangerous.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. I mean, try it out, folks.
Yeah, let us know. Your mileage may vary.
I can't say I've partaken, but let me know how it is. But no, and then, I mean, the other sort of I thought was another controversial decision in the Arsenal Athletic. That's a foul on Eze, man. Like, I don't see enough in there.
They went to the screen. I'm like, what are you looking
ref
at? What are you watching?
For the VAR to be like, you've made a clear and obvious error. I don't see it. I mean, what's there's clearly the contact there.
Is it TikToks? What are you watching on the screen? Because it couldn't have been the other angles of that.
I mean, and I'm not saying that. I would also have been fine if it was not called a penalty.
I would say whatever the ref's call was, there wasn't enough on those angles to overturn it. So the fact that it did get overturned was frustrating.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, what did you see? At least I would love for them to say, the reason I'm blah, 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 the reason I'm overturning this, the reason I'm sticking with it is because of blank.
Right.
Give us that, because at this point now we're all sitting here wondering what it is that you saw.
Interesting, right? Because they obviously Premier League does the announcements after VAR decisions. MLS originally started with it, but they don't do it in UEFA competitions.
However,
we need a little however in Champions League. I think that will help. I just thought, again, VAR does not need to get involved here. It's just frustrating. I'm not rooting for Arsenal. I'm not rooting for Atleti. It's just like, come on. They don't need to get involved and stuff.
I know.
I
know I annoy people because I like VAR, but the reason I like it is because I'm hoping it would get implemented better. I'm hoping it would be the final say of like, well, we have multiple camera angles. There's no denying this. It's like these guys are just watching the Zapruder film going, I don't know. It's too shaky. I can't figure this out. It's really frustrating because I'm like, what is it? How do we get to this point where we finally have you going to a screen looking at every available angle where we're all watching this in 4K and 4K and you got nothing?
What in general, especially being an Arsenal fan, it did feel there's a toothless feeling, I think, with Arsenal watching them. I think that and I think they've gotten that way towards the last stretch of the season. I don't know if it's the concern about the league. There's a lack of like real, not urgency is not the word, but there's a lack, because I think defensively, I think they're still like stout, but there's just something missing. It's hard to explain.
I mean, you have Odegaard, which isn't fully fit. Saka's coming back from injury. Jokeres, Havertz is out. I mean, you have a team that's not 100% fit. Eze seems to be getting back into form. To me, it just seems like they're away and it's like, hey, let's not lose this in the first leg. I'd rather have the confidence that we're going to have more of our squad fully match fit on the second leg when we're home. So it's like, yo, to get a draw away at Atletico Madrid is no joke.
I think it's not enough, though, given, like, getting knocked out of the Carabao, losing Carabao Cup. Like, there's something that there has to be some risk. Like, we saw the PSG Bayern. I mean, like, the amount of risk that these teams are willing to take is, like, obviously refreshing.
Yeah.
And I think Arsenal needs a little bit of that if they want to win anything this season.
You want to know my real theory is that Martinelli is a curse. Martinelli is a bad luck charm.
Okay.
And he's the reason we're not winning. Honestly, like, he's not doing anything on the left side. It's the same thing I argued last time. They keep playing out of the right because there's no pressure release from the left. It gets a little better when Nkapie is up there sort of helping out. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, he doesn't drive. And I know the joke against Noni Madueke is that he drives at defenders and then it goes to the bottom. Yeah. But at least he's driving at defenders. He's not just standing there doing a little shimmy and then passing it off.
But also, Martinelli, this Champions League has
incredible goals. What's he done for me lately, bro?
That is true. All right.
If he doesn't have the pace anymore and he's not willing to drive with defenders, you're wasting space on the left-hand side.
Well, we'll see.
And you're causing us to be one-sided, and defenders know that. They could collapse to that side. I could go on and on and on. Someone put Mikel Arteta on the phone with me.
We got him on the horn, folks.
Seriously, I can solve this in one second. Don't ever start Martinelli again.
Okay.
There's not a 16-year-old in the academy that's at least is willing to run forward.
Okay.
Is ridiculous.
All right. We'll see. I mean, next week, we'll see in the second legs of both of these and see how they
turn out. Oh, so Odegaard's scared? Why are you scared, dog? Oh, my God.
Okay.
Legends only on this show, bro.
Exactly. I mean, this has just been a revolving door of U.S. men's national team players. We have Weston on recently, and now
twice.
He's like he stayed in the revolving door.
He can't get enough.
Weston has been on the show twice in the last like 4 weeks.
We might start saying no to Weston at this point. He's been on 2 months, bro. But this next guy, absolutely incredible, hasn't been on the show in forever. If you're a Bournemouth fan, buckle your seatbelts. If you're a U.S. men's national team, buckle your seatbelts, because we've got, in fact, if you're from Wappingers Falls, buckle your seatbelts, because we got the one, the only, Tyler Adams, everybody.
Tyler, what's up, man?
Appreciate y'all. Thanks for having me on.
Dude, it's always an honor, man. We haven't spoken to you in a while, and I would say tumultuous and turbulent season for you, where there's been great successes, great wins, unbelievable goals. We're gonna talk about your goal
in
a little bit. But how are you feeling physically? Because I know it's been some frustrating injuries that have kept you off the pitch. So how's Tyler Adams feeling right now in the season, especially leading towards this World Cup in the summer?
Yeah, man, I'm in a good spot. This season started off real well for me. Obviously, a little bit of a hiccup in the middle of the season, kind of just out of your control kind of thing, which for me was more important than something that I could have controlled. So actually having something to blame was nice to go through that. But I think that for me now it's just about getting to my best final tune-ups before the World Cup. But right now feeling good. And yeah, 4 games left, get through those and you're playing in a World Cup.
You know, a lot of times when athletes get partnerships, you wonder, like, do they even really drive a Hyundai? You know what I mean? Like, you never know what the partnership is. This one, this one for you, I believe in, because this is about personal wealth and wellness routines, and
personal,
all the
personal health.
Personal wealth is a different partnership. We're going to get you that. Don't worry about that. We're going to help out if we can. But personal health, you partnered with Haley on with something called For the Assist. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, for me, I'm at a special point, I think, right now in my career where I'm having the opportunity to work with more brands. And for me, the most important thing is doing it organically. So like you said, like I actually use these products. So when they came to me, it was an easy yes. Like I've been using Sensodyne as a kid. I never thought that Sensodyne was going to come to me and ask me to do a brand endorsement. You know what I mean? So I take wellness really seriously, especially after some injuries that I've had. So anything that I can use to help me recover faster and be at my best, I use. So this was a special one for me.
All right. Damn, that means I'm getting a Preparation H. sponsorship coming my way.
I can't
wait.
I can't share in that deal, but I'll support my man his thing.
I don't think you poop long enough, Christian. I need to get off that toilet fast.
Tyler, a couple weeks ago, we've been hanging out with him we hung out with him in Tampa and in Kansas City. But your assistant coach, Stephen Fletcher, is now one of the homies. He did the show recently. Yeah. We love hanging out with him.
He slapped me.
Yes, okay.
In a knock knock joke.
We cannot repeat the joke. We told him we wouldn't repeat the joke.
I will never repeat the joke, but I didn't know how to explain to the guy. I'm from the hood. You don't slap someone from the hood. But one of the things that he spoke glowingly about is you.
He spoke so highly of you every single time when your name came up.
And you as a person, not just the football.
Yeah, just like look, all the care that you have for everyone around Bournemouth, everyone the staff. Of families of the other players and everybody, you really make everybody feel welcome. And one of the things I always say about you, having met you a couple times, is like, man, the maturity of this guy has been through the roof. And you even when you were at Red Bull and we hated you because we're NYCFC fans, I'm like, why do I respect this kid, bro? but just the fact, can you talk a little bit, maybe your relationship with Stephen Fletcher and why he speaks so highly of you?
Nah, I appreciate that. No, I respect everyone at the club so much, man, in Bournemouth. Like, a lot of people don't understand, like, I was going through one of the toughest parts of my career when Bournemouth signed me, and they just take a chance. Do you know what I mean? Like, 25 million is a big chance to take on a player. So, for me, I want to repay them in every way possible. I want to show up, be authentic to who I am, carry myself in the right way, be the best professional, because I know on the field, I'm going to be able to do what I do best, and I'm really good at it. But off the field, I want to make sure people remember me as a good person and the right person for their club. So, yeah, Stephen Fletcher, man, for me, he's just been an amazing person. I think the positivity that he carries around the training ground every single day, that you see him, how he talks to people, like he gets people in tune and excited about what's to come for Bournemouth. And, you know, he represents the club in all the right ways. So thankful for him.
Love we it. Mentioned Red Bull and New York City FC. Your manager played for New York City FC, Andoni Iraola.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love about him and watching the way he sort of has changed the tactical sort of awareness that other clubs have to have when they go to Bournemouth, and really changed the way the Premier League even plays, I think, is what I love about it is that it seems very nonchalant, but I can tell that when he puts his arm around a player before they go into the pitch, like as a sub or before the game, there's like real gems that he's spitting. Can you give us insight as to one thing that he's done that's maybe changed the way you play or the way you see the game? Because I'm sure there's been a lot.
Yeah, no. I mean, when you have a manager that played a similar position to you, it's really easy to listen to them speak and take it all in. Like, I'm a sponge to whatever he says. To have the career that he had at Athletic Club, and really now go into coaching at such a young age and really have that much success at a young age, you listen when someone like that speaks. So I don't know if he's a game changer in the way that he's played, but the influences that he has from, you know, like Bielsa and Ernesto Valverde and like managers like that, you can see it's identical in a lot of ways. So it's chaotic football. I think we make it hard for big teams to play against. High energy fits the way that I play. So yeah, thankful for him for giving me a chance. But yeah, he's a knowledgeable man and a knowledgeable coach.
When you heard the news about that, you know, that he's leaving Bournemouth at the end of the year, I'm not here to like, you know, I'm not here to get you in trouble or even possibly, you know, give you an issue with the new manager or whatever. But when you hear stuff like that, can you talk about if you're just like happy for him and his opportunity, or you're disappointed that he's leaving? Like, I mean, I know
you are getting a lot of minutes on.
Yeah. Yeah. In the Premier League, managers so kind of come and go. But what were your thoughts when you heard that of him leaving?
Yeah, man, I've had so many managers in my career. It's there's pros and cons, right? Like I'm super excited for him to get a new opportunity because I think he deserves to manage a top club in the world. And I know that he will go on to do that. At the same time, I've grown so much under him and I, you know, really appreciated my time under him. So coaches come and go. I wish him nothing but the best. I'm thankful for him and how he's helped me grow. And you never know, like paths in football cross all the time. Like I was on the bench of a game while he was playing against New York City FC. Now we're in Bournemouth together. Do you know what I mean? Right, like right. It's a small football world, is a small world, man.
Hudson River Derby's coming up in the Open Cup. You guys talk about it? Did it ever come up, those matches?
Nah, every time I talk to him about New York, he says it's his favorite city, but he lost money living there. And I was like, that's what New York does to you, man.
Man.
MLS needs to up the budget, bro.
Man, expensive taste, bro. Hanging out in Soho every day or something.
Yeah. I mean, he's a smart enough guy to love New York, and that's all that matters to me. What you gonna call it? Look, obviously, the World Cup final is going to be in New York. The World Cup's coming up. How many new cousins do you have popping up out of nowhere, hitting you up for tickets? Talk to me, Tyler.
Honestly, right now, I don't have too many people, thankfully, hitting me up for tickets. I feel like it's a delicate subject for a lot of people. They don't want to be going in too hard yet. So
yeah.
We'll see, man. Hopefully I get this opportunity to play in the World Cup. And man, if it comes home to New York, that'd be something special.
You're also a fairly new dad. Kenny, you talk. My son just turned 3. But how has that experience changed you, and what's it like now being a dad?
Yeah, man, we're going through it right now, to say the least.
Nah, okay.
It's special, man. And anyone that's become a father knows what it does to you as a person, man. It just puts everything into perspective. And you know, I'm thankful to my wife because she holds it down, that's for sure. I need a little bit more sleep than she's getting. But my two boys are amazing, man. Everything's going really well right now. I'm just enjoying every second of it.
Damn, the earplug game must be crazy, right? Like, I got a match tomorrow. AirPods. I'm sleeping through this. Talk to me a little bit about with the amount of legends that you have access to, whether it's, you know, folks you could talk to, like your assistant coach Stephen Fletcher, or folks that you've played with in the Premier League, especially in the U.S. men's national team, tons of legends that have come before you. Is there anyone that you go to for advice, or that you talk to on a regular basis, or that you lean on?
Not necessarily, man. I kind of stay in my lane and try to do what I think's right. I got a small circle in my family and my wife and my kids, obviously. And those are the people that I rely on in tough moments or amazing moments to keep me grounded and remember where you come from. But yeah, I think there's a few people that I've had conversations with in the past. I've obviously had conversations with guys like Clint, guys like Tim, Michael Bradley, most recently when I visited Red Bull in the summer. So I'm familiar with him. He coached my my brother at Red Bull too, so we have a good relationship as well. But you know, I think I'm quite savvy in the way that I go about things. Understand, you know, the situations and experiences that I've been through to grow from them. But yeah, I just rely on my family for the most part.
I love it. That's, I love it. Good. I want to get back to you real quick. The goal you scored against Sunderland was just we were watching it back before we started talking to you, and I mean, everything about it is fantastic. the scene, the rain,
the announcer,
the Michael Jordan sticking your tongue out during the celebration. But, you know, for I know you're a guy who's not your main focus and your main responsibility is not on scoring goals. But that was, I mean, that was Premier League goal of the month. Probably one of the best goals this season for sure. When you look back on it and reflect it, is that your favorite goal you've ever scored or where does it rank?
No, definitely not my favorite because we lost. So I don't even put it in the top whatever. Like, out of all the goals I scored, most of the time I score, we at least win the games, which is nice because I don't score often. So when I do, I'm happy that we win. But in that scenario, it was kind of a bummer because, I didn't really celebrate it because we lost. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was a great moment for me. I think it's something that I've been looking to add to my game. I didn't think it was going to come in that way. But happy it went in.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, the way it bounced out of the net, because it hit like the stanchion, right? It hit like the back of the bottom of the goal.
Thought I missed.
So it sort of looked like it didn't go in.
You missed?
Bro, when it came out of the goal, I was like, how did he save that and it come that far out of the goal? Like, I was like, that's a crazy save. Like, that was insane.
It's one of those where, like, the crowd lets you know or your teammates let you know you scored.
It was a trippy one.
But everyone was so far from me. I'm in the middle of the field by myself. No one's running towards me, and the stadium's dead quiet. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, you're one of those guys. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it just reminded me of those times where, like, someone will score, but it looks like someone else did or something, or it looks like a different player was involved, so everyone goes to celebrate with them, and the goal scorer is stuck by themselves. Does that ever happen to you?
I don't score enough goals for that to happen.
Not even in training, damn. But you're going, I guess one of the things I wanted to get back to was your partnership. What are some of the things that you do before a game to get yourself in like peak physical shape? Are you one of those guys that has to get your body like fully warmed up, like a whole workout before 90 minutes? Or are you just like, I want to chill in my own space?
I'm getting old, man. I gotta get warmed up properly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A lot of those elastic band stretches, huh?
I go through a lot of routines now just to make sure that the body's kind of primed and ready to go. But like I said, in all honesty, after going through my first real injury, wellness just became like an important thing to me. Just making sure I'm doing everything I can in terms of recovery to make sure I'm ready to go for every session and every day, working with physios, massages, all those kinds of little details. So, yeah, I would say right now I'm in a good spot and got a good routine going.
It's interesting. So we were joking about having Weston on, but Weston was pretty, the first time we had him on, he was pretty vulnerable about like all the criticism he would receive about his body and judgment and all that other stuff. And he was like pretty frank about like, oh, I didn't really take my recovery that seriously. And then as soon as he started to, like, things were improving. I mean, are those conversations? I mean, I know there's obviously conversations about like everybody holding each other accountable. You all want the best for the U.S. men's national team. Do you guys hold each other accountable even in that sense of like taking care of your own bodies?
Absolutely. I think so. I mean, with Weston, it's always been like kind of an ongoing joke. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, how can you tell someone that is playing well that they need to do something else? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I've never heard someone waver from what they're doing if they're having success. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like along the years, he's made small adjustments that has kind of allowed him to adjust and have even more success. But like, you figure it out as you go. Everyone's different. Like my body type is different than Weston's. We play in a different way. Like everyone has these little nuances to the way that they do things. And I think to criticize people for certain things is, you know, it's difficult because everyone has their own way of doing something.
Right. He also brought up that he would avoid the ice bath after play. I didn't know you could do that.
I thought
they forced you in that. What about you? Are you an ice bath guy?
Weston going nowhere near that thing, bro. Oh my God.
He was very open about it. He's like, I think, who was it? He said like one of the big players on you.
Ronaldo.
Ronaldo said, yo, you should do this. He's like, I'll be in there in five. It just never went back. What about...
You better listen to him.
Which is crazy. Like, I feel like Ronaldo would just wait for you. But what about you? Are you an ice bath guy?
I ice bath. Yeah, I'm pretty consistent with this. It's just one of those things. I feel like, why not? No harm. It's 5 minutes. You know what I mean? So yeah, I do it, unfortunately.
Does it help?
I mean, it's supposed to. That's what they say. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. I just get in and hope for the best.
All right. Damn. And just to wrap up here, when looking forward to this World Cup, I mean, what are you looking forward to? I mean, hopefully all goes well and you are there at the World Cup and playing in these games. But what are you kind of looking forward to? How are you preparing? What is the main focus right now?
Yeah, it's so hard. I mean, I feel like this has just kind of been looming over everyone's head for the entire season. And it's like, yeah. I got Premier League to try and focus on. You know what I mean? I'm genuinely not thinking about the World Cup, but I feel like now at this point in the season, finally you can be like, okay, it's next month. You know what I mean? Like we're really close to it. Now you can start thinking about it a little bit more. But for me, I think it's just going to be playing in front of friends and family, man. I just really want to enjoy the experience. And I know that if I'm enjoying the experience and having fun, then I'm going to be playing my best and be able to give the most to the team if I'm there. So, for me, it's going to be able to look in the stand and see so much friends and family because I haven't had the opportunity to play in front of a lot of people like that in a long time.
Okay.
Dude, I can't wait, man. I'm really excited for you. I'm excited for how you guys are going to end the season. I'm excited to see you in the summer. We'll just say it that way because you never know, right?
Thanks,
you never
man.
Know.
Tyler, it's always an honor to have you
exactly
on, man.
That.
Yeah, like Stephen Fletcher says, he's a good lad, all right?
Yeah.
it's always a pleasure.
Thanks,
brother.
Guys.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate y'all. Thanks, man.
Which is why they're thinking of bringing back Jose Mourinho? I don't know, man. This might be like a stroke of genius by Florentino Perez, no?
No. The answer, no.
You think this is a bad idea?
I think it's a... It's like jumping the shark. It's running out of ideas. It's trying to get back to... the fact that Real Madrid can't evolve, like they always have to go back to... Like the manager that's gonna whip everybody into shape and blah blah blah. Like the fact that the identity of the club, like it sort of tells me that there really is no identity of the club. Like it's kind of like it is bring in superstars, out power, out muscle, outspend, and that's gonna bring us success. And when you outspend and you bring in players like Cristiano Ronaldo and Gareth Bale and Benzema and like these complete legends of the game that are like potentially Ballon d'Or winners, then yeah, I get that. But that's not where they're really at. Like there's a couple good players. They don't have enough of a collective of just, there's, which I brought up earlier, but there's a video of Carvajal, or Carvajal, pointing out that, so the camera's on him, and there's a play where Trent Alexander-Arnold is like not tracking back really like hard enough. And he's like giggling. He's talking to somebody that's off camera and he's covering his mouth, but he's laughing. But then he does the motion. You watch Trent Alexander-Arnold like jog back to try to defend. And he's like, he's really not really that like trying. And Carvajal does this. He does like a little finger motion. Like, look, can you see him? He's like, he's not really running. And it kind
of mocking him for tracking back lightly.
Exactly. So it's kind of saying, and then on top of that, he also leaves. He goes to the locker room before the final whistle or before the halftime whistle. And Arbeloa looks back at him like, "Yeah, what else is this dude going?" And it's telling me that the players do not believe in each other. They're not supporting each other. And Mourinho, I don't think Mourinho fixes this unless he just.
I do think Mourinho fixes that, and I think the big issue with Real Madrid. And I'm sure I'll get cooked in the comments for saying this, but unfortunately, there's no one bigger than the badge, right? So you need to bring in someone that's bigger than the players. And like, who do the players respect, you know?
Carvajal.
An example.
Yeah, but he's...
Which we call it, like, who would the players... Who would walk into that dressing room and immediately be an alpha in a room with players like Vinny, like Mbappe, like Bellingham, like Trent Alexander-Arnold? There's not many. The list is short. Mourinho is one of those people where you walk in and he supersedes everyone in that room. You know, Carlo Ancelotti is one of those people, right? Here, look, he's, as you see here, you know, three-time Premier League winner, two-time Serie A winner. He's obviously won the Champions League twice, which this only says once, if I'm not mistaken, but he's won it twice, once with Porto, once with Inter. He's one of those people that immediately his persona is bigger than the club. As a manager, he managed from 2010 to 2013. He won La Liga. He won Copa del Rey. He won the Supercopa de España. For some reason, I remembered him winning Champions
League. He did not win Champions League.
I don't know why. In my head, he just did. You know? But when I look at someone like him, he walks in. Carlo Ancelotti walks in. Someone like maybe doesn't have the, like, what's his name? Zizou obviously walks in, immediately gets the respect. He doesn't have the management ability, or certainly has shown it, but someone like Thierry Henry could walk in that room and be an alpha. Like, those are the people you're picking from. And who of those people have the ability to manage and haven't already managed Real Madrid? You're going to end up going back. This was the same issue, and I cannot believe I'm saying this. This was the same predicament that Everton were in when they went from Carlo Ancelotti to Rafa Benitez. You were stuck going to Rafa Benitez because you started hiring managers. You started hiring managers of a higher ilk. And it's like, you can't go from a Carlo Ancelotti, which is like an insane pull for Everton. Mm-hmm. You can't go from him to like Dunk. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got to go to a guy who's of the same ilk. And Rafa Benitez at the time was the only one really available. And obviously it didn't work out, but you have to bring in someone that when they walk into that man in that training facility, they become the guy. Everyone's like, oh my God, he's here. And when you have Mbappe and Vinny and those guys, there's not many people that do that. So how do you get someone that all of them are going to listen to? Xabi Alonso clearly wasn't that guy.
You think those guys are going to listen to Mourinho? He's Mourinho. The same cachet
because you know what? He understands the psychological warfare of what it takes. What does he do? He ruins one player everywhere he goes, and that's a sign to everyone else, you might be next. He did it to Juan Mata. He did it to Iker Casillas. He did it to Dele Alli. He's done it. Everywhere he goes, he destroys one player, and he says, look, if I could do this to your boy, I might do this to you.
This is the sacrifice. Every
he does it everywhere he goes. He literally, I mean, think about it, everywhere he's gone.
Who would he sacrifice in Real Madrid?
Probably Trent Alexander-Arnold. Now that I'm thinking about it, Danny Carvajal, I'm like, this guy. Real Madrid now, they're not free-flowing and attacking. What they are, their identity is a team that must win. And how do you win? You don't win we'll take a year or two to get under, you know, to get Xavi's system. Literally, Real Madrid's not built for that. Unfortunately, Real Madrid has to compete for Champions League every year. And when you don't, you get fired. It's an uncomfortable position to be in. I think it's an untenable position to be in as a club. But go to a Real Madrid fan. Talk to Real Madrid fans. They're not talking about like, oh, we're building our own set. No, they're like, did we win or not? And if the answer is no, you're fired. Bring in somebody who can. I don't like it. I hate it. I would hate to be a fan of a club like that because I'm like, this isn't fun anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, we talk about Real Madrid a lot. Real Madrid is talked about a lot because they have a huge fan base.
They're competing with national teams for managers.
Right. So, but this is, I just think this highlights like, I wouldn't want to be a fan of this team. I mean, and this is not how I want to support a team. This is, they don't reflect the same values, the same ambitions, same, like, none of this to me is like inspiring. Right. It's a desperate necessity to win, a desperate necessity to bring in money and revenue and stuff like that. And it's just like, I don't enjoy it, but even this conversation, like go hire Mourinho. I think it'll be a disaster.
I don't think it'll be a disaster because I think you'll get everyone in check.
But disaster is second place and they constantly are just behind.
Well, that's not a disaster though. It would be the same as it is right now is what you're saying?
Yeah.
The results would be the same. I do think he would get everyone a little bit more in check. I think it's Mourinho's way of the highway, which we've seen it grow to a point where I think it's not fun anymore. Like when he was at Roma waiting for the refs and all that. There's moments where I'm like, all right, there's a little bit too much. But I think he is the guy to go back in that seat and figure it out. And honestly, now that I realize he didn't win Champions League, I don't know why in my head he did. But the fact that he didn't win Champions League with Real Madrid is like, yo, you still have something to prove.
He does. I don't think he can prove it, though. I mean, I get it, but I think realistically, Mourinho has fallen off from like managing these tremendous clubs. I think he's too much of a distraction. He's going to do something that is going to get sent off. He's going to be fined. He's going to be suspended. Something is going to happen because it always does. It happened at Roma. It happened
he was at Galatasaray.
It's something's always going to happen, and I think Real Madrid is too big of a club with too many like eyes on.
Was he at Galatasaray?
He was at a, he was in
Fenerbahce. Yeah. Why am I confused? Sorry about that.
I think it's a terrible idea. So I don't. I mean, look, fans are kind of going back and forth. We're seeing on Twitter, Madrid Zone, replies from Madrid Zone said, no, it won't work with the egos that are running around. Egos need the special one. He's a man for the job. So some people are saying it for the same reason that why it would work and why it wouldn't work.
I think, look, at the end of the day, if this is how much it's polarizing the fans, it's clear like he's someone who is a lightning rod.
Right.
And maybe that's what you need. Maybe Xavi Alonso didn't understand the politics of being the manager, which you can't be soft and manage that way. Zinedine Zidane's really the only one I've ever seen do it. Even Carlo Ancelotti, they're like, oh, his eyebrows raised. Oh, it's like business time. You know, like to me, like you need a certain energy to be the manager of Real Madrid. You need a certain ability to get people in line. You need a certain ability to present yourself in the media in a certain way. And Jose Mourinho does that easily. He's literally the perfect guy for that.
I think there's a lot of scrutiny when you play or manage Real Madrid. And Zinedine Zidane is a great example of like he seemingly did everything right and won a lot and got them a lot of consistent success, but he left anyway, right? And I think even if you're successful, it's still a headache to be the manager of that club.
This is my argument against when players say it's like their dream, like Kylian Mbappe going there. I'm like, you're never going to be bigger than you're not going to be like a super, you're going to be another player that won them something.
You ain't bigger than the program.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the day, like I'd rather go somewhere and lift it up to the highest heights versus be another guy who keeps him at that point.
And that's like Trent Alexander-Arnold. He said the same thing. He's like, well, if Real Madrid calls, you got to answer. And it's like, do you though? I mean, let's be for real. I mean, I think people were doing this with Manchester United the last couple of years. They saw the struggle that they had. And Manchester United will call and they'll be like, I'm that dusty club. I ain't going over there. Until now they're turning things around. And maybe, and Carrick and Bruno. And maybe there's like a better legacy that they can start leaving to the next group of players. But I don't know. Real Madrid. And again, you're still going to get, you're going to get the money. You're going to get the success. You're going to get all those things. But is it worth it? And I think that's a fair question given like...
It's like the benefit is you get to be one of the guys that played for... You get to be, oh, I was a Real Madrid player. And there's like... Right. It's like wearing the green jacket or something in golf. You know what I mean?
Masters,
you're like, yeah. You're like, oh, there's something special to it. And I forget. I mean, I was having this conversation with Charlie Davies and I was making the point that I'm making now, which is like, why as a player, like, would you... You know, if you could go anywhere... And you could be a star at some place of like your favorite club in the world, or you could go be another guy that won it at Real Madrid. Why would you go? And he said, Real Madrid only ever calls you once. And that the effect of that is too big for many to turn down. Because once you turn them down, you're never going to go back there again. And maybe to some degree, you just want to see what it's like. And look, to his credit, Mbappe did grow up with Real Madrid posters all over the... But I'm like, you know, who cares? In my head, I'm like, dude, you were a god in Paris. Yeah. Maybe the move is somewhere else. Maybe you don't have to go to to Real Madrid, because at Real Madrid now it's like, did you help us be like we always been, winning Champions League? They won it 15 times. What are you going to do that special? You got to win it another 15 times.
Yeah. It's an interesting decision. I wonder what people think in the comments as well.
We're going to get flooded with Real Madrid fans that are calling us crazy.
Go for it.
But I also think Mourinho was the right choice.
I think he's the wrong choice. We'll see. All right, let's wrap up there. Shout out to Tyler Adams for joining us on the pod. Always a fun, chat. And like again, leading up to the World Cup, look at this. We have Weston McKennie on twice. We had Tyler Adams. There's going to be a couple other USMNT players joining us in the coming weeks. So be on the lookout. Hit the like. Hit the subscribe button.
Hell yeah, dog.
If you haven't yet, I mean, you're crazy.
Current players, legends, bro.
Bro, this is
Kim Jong Un is going to be on the show.
Kim Jong Un,
it's going to be crazy.
We're bringing him back.
He was such a fun guest the first time.
People, the first time they were like, "Why are you platforming him?" Yeah. I'm like, "What? The cancel culture is over. We don't do that anymore.
We can't get in trouble if Alexi Lalas is still on TV. There's no reason why we can't have Kim Jong Un.
Okay, they've caused the same amount of damage, bro."
That's crazy. That's crazy. Literally crazy.
Be on the lookout for those. As always, shout out to everybody for tuning in. Another birthday, another trip around the sun for the Cooligans. Always fun. So thank you for joining us on this special birthday episode. Make sure for our birthdays, feel free to hit like, hit subscribe, leave a comment on the podcast as well. So I've been seeing a lot more comments on Spotify, which I forgot that you could do that.
Let's go.
People are basically, somebody said they don't know. I forgot who it was. They were like, I don't know what's going to happen more. Alexis cutting Christian off or Christian's voice cracking. Does my voice crack on
the
show?
Yes, all the time. I keep telling you, swallow your saliva.
Okay.
All of a sudden you're talking, you go Louis Armstrong on us.
All right. I don't know. Yeah. I don't notice it. So it must not be true.
If it's not in my purview, it ain't real.
You're all liars and gaslighting me.
You know what? Tune in to our next episode and hear what Kim Jong-un's got to say about Christian's voice.
All right, everybody. We'll see you on Monday with a brand new episode. And we got another guest on Monday. I don't know who it is, but it's somebody that has a lot of influence in the soccer space. So
what a way to end the show.
Just get everybody excited about it. All right. We'll see you on Monday, everybody. I hope all your teams lose. Peace.
Love you guys. Happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday, Alexis.